In this part of Focus, we'll be talking about carpal tunnel syndrome, something that seems to be causing problems for a growing number of people. Maybe in the past it had been mostly something that you might see in musicians or athletes, people who did repetitive sorts of motion. But now that we have more and more people using computers in their work, we're starting to see it more in office workers. So we'll be talking a little bit this morning about what it is, how it can be prevented and treated, with Kate Montgomery. She is a sports therapist. She is, in addition, a healthcare educator. She's degreed as a holistic health practitioner. She's a certified sports massage therapist. Before that, also had a career as a respiratory therapist. And she's the author of a book that might interest you if you think you have a problem with carpal tunnel. The title of her book is End Your Carpal Tunnel Pain Without Surgery. It is available in a paper published by Rutledge Hill. It's not terribly expensive, so you can seek it out in the bookstore. She, by the way, is going to be doing a signing at Pages for All Ages Bookstore this weekend, Sunday the 10th, from 2 to 3 in the afternoon. So you will have the opportunity to meet her, and you can buy a copy of the book, and she'll sign it for you. Also, I want to mention that she's going to be teaching a course as part of the YMCA Communiversity class is dealing with this very thing, how to end your carpal tunnel pain without surgery. These begin on the Saturday, the 11th of September, which I guess would be this Saturday, right?
Monday.
Monday. Make that Monday.
Where are your glasses, David?
The 11th. It's old age. I just can't quite find the right focusing distance. Anyway, Monday, the 11th. And for more information, you can call the Y 337-1500. Okay.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it. I guess I also should tell people who are listening that if you have questions, you can call and talk with the guest. And I know she will do her best to give you an answer. As with a lot of the health things we talk about here, diagnosis over the phone is impossible. But we do these shows to try to add to your store of health knowledge. So if you want to give us a call, that's certainly great. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-WILL or 9455. And one more thing, the show's going to be over before I stop talking here. We have an extra copy of the book, and we're going to give it away at about 11:30, midpoint. So I'll give you a number to call. The first person in, we will send them with our best wishes, a copy of the book. Otherwise, you can go to the bookstore. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you. Good for having me.
First, I guess the basic question would be, what is carpal tunnel syndrome? What is it?
It's a musculoskeletal disorder. You know, you look at what carpal tunnel is, it's basically the name that's like the common problem, and it's really an upper body problem. And so we can say it's repetitive strain. But at the same time, if you use your arms, your hands for anything, you can develop a musculoskeletal problem. Carpal tunnel just happens to be the one we think that we get with repetitive strain. You don't necessarily have to do it with repetition. So it's like if something goes out of alignment, you have a structural problem, you have a muscle problem, and then you have a nerve problem. And we have to look at the whole picture, not just that the nerve is impinged down at the carpal tunnel.
Well, for this, it helps, I guess, to have a very little basic anatomy. And again, it's one of those things that, you know, if we could show people pictures,
right,
as you
exactly
have in your book, would be easier. But I guess the basic idea is with this particular problem is that there is a major nerve that runs through the wrist. And that what can happen is if that becomes pinched, I guess, the end result can be pain,
numbness,
tingling, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of unpleasant sensations in the hand.
Right. Well, you know, it is hard to give a picture over the thing, but it, basically if you look at your arms and your hands and your wrists, you want to keep everything in perfect structural alignment. And when the structure goes out of balance because of the muscles being overused, overworked, and you feel pain and tension in your muscles, and we call it tendonitis. You can get, you know, tendonitis of the elbow. Well, that pain and tension then puts pressure on the joints, and then it pulls everything out of alignment. Well, those nerves run through holes. And all of a sudden, everything changes and it narrows down. And all of a sudden, you've got pressure on that nerve. And then that creates all the symptoms of tingling and numbness and loss of grip strength and sensation and all the things that go with it. And then we label it, quote, carpal tunnel. It isn't necessarily all carpal tunnel. Mm-hmm. It could be something in your elbow. It could be in your shoulder. It could be in your neck where it originally starts. The end point is your hand.
But it seems that in a sense, that's all the problem may be at different points, but it's kind of all one issue.
Yes, it is. Mm.
This is something that we have now heard more and more about over the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years. And I think that it is true that before now, mostly the people, at least I think of as having these kinds of problems, were athletes, musicians, people like violinists and so forth, people who did certain sorts of motions and did them over and over and over mm-hmm. again, or people who in their work really used their bodies.
Right.
And now we start to see it more and more in office workers. Is this a case that it was sort of always there, but now that we have something to call it, we recognize it more often, or has the nature of work changed and now do, in fact, we see more people who have this than who had it before?
It's always been there. I mean, in the book, I talk about a history of carpal tunnel, and it goes all the way back into the 30s, and it goes into the meat packers, and you have policemen, and you have construction workers, and you just bring it up. Even in the military, they started making notes of musculoskeletal problems. They didn't call it carpal tunnel, but they started showing things, reports about hands and hand problems. So it's always been there, but then, believe it or not, when the computer technology started coming through, it was when we started to see it more and more. But really, that's a very minor occupation compared to the rest of the world. But mm-hmm. now what's happening, and I want to bring this up, is that we have a lot of people, especially students, using computers, but we have children. And now you're seeing the computer going all the way down into the elementary schools, and now you're putting kids on computers without proper ergonomic setups, not proper chair. Nothing fits their bodies. So the other problem to this is posture. You have to look at the body itself. You have to look at your posture, how you sit in chairs. The ergonomics is an important factor, but we're starting to see it more and more in kids. And that's the scary part for me, is to watch it in kids.
Yeah. Our guest in this hour of focus is Kate Montgomery. She's a sports therapist and is the author of this book we mentioned, End Your Carpal Tunnel Pain Without Surgery. And we're talking about carpal tunnel syndrome and other kinds of repetitive stress injuries and how they can affect not just the wrist and the hand, but also your elbow, your shoulder, your neck, other parts of the body. And questions are welcome. 333-WILL or 9455. Toll free 800-222-WILL. We have talked a little bit, you talked a little bit about the symptoms. Maybe we ought to talk a little bit more about how do you know that if this is what you have?
Well, you should go to your doctor. And I'm going to say that, you know, you can go to your doctor and there are lots of tests that you can do. And you don't necessarily know that that's what you have. The numbness and tingling really is a good sign because that means that there is a nerve impingement somewhere. Mm-hmm. But if you've had a whiplash, if you've ever had a car accident, and you've hurt your neck or you hurt your shoulder, you know, the most likely thing is that your structure is out of alignment. You can go to a chiropractor and have an x-ray and you can find out if something's out, you know, and have your neck adjusted and maybe the symptoms will go away. Get a massage, basically, because your muscles are the ones that are all tied up from doing too much computer work or writing papers or cutting onions up if you're a chef or if you're a carpenter. So the thing is that it's the muscle tension and relief that needs to go away as well as the structural alignment. So how do you know you have it? You know, there are tests that can be done. But if you can't hold on to a glass, if you can't button your clothes up or comb your hair or do things, you see a lot of hairstylists that have the problem too, then that's a sure sign that you can do this. And you can do some simple tests by trying to hold on to something, yes. You can take your wrists and point them toward the air like in the prayer, and if your hands start to feel weird and numb, then that might be an impingement to the nerve. You can point them down where you compress through the wrist at the same time. So if you hold for 30 seconds and you start to feel some problems, maybe you got a problem.
Hmm. Well, one of the at that point, once you've suggested people can do some of these sorts of simple things to try to determine do they have a problem or not, then the next question is, well, okay, who do you see about this?
Well, in the book, I give a protocol to healing because you really have to know where to start. I say go to the doctor, but you know what? your doctor going to say, well, most of this is what happened with all the clients that I've ever worked with. They come in, they sometimes don't even do an exam, and they'll give you some drugs, and they want to shoot you up with cortisone for inflammation, or they'll say, oh, surgery's right it. Well, surgery really isn't necessary. You really, if you correct the problem from structure to muscle, and that takes the impingement off and the pressure off the nerve, then you've fixed the problem. You know, the stuff that I put in there in the book, as far as the exercises and everything, really does mm-hmm. correct it. And it works immediately. And that's the nice point about it. But surgery to me is a last resort. Absolutely. I've only actually told one person once to go have surgery, and it was a senior citizen who had a lot of calcification and bone spurs happened to be in her wrist from arthritic problems. And, you know, after that, though, we did all the other work and she was fine. But that's just a rare case. I mean, I know a lot of people that go and have surgery, and if you do it once, that's fine. But if you have to go in a second and third and fourth time, which you do hear a lot of and you see it, do not do this. I mean, it's a waste of time because it isn't going to help you. And even if you have the first surgery, that doesn't guarantee always that you can go back to doing what you used to do, because it limits your range of motion. And if you try to go back to keying like you did, the same symptoms are going to come right back up again because you didn't change the dynamics.
We did mention that you can have repetitive strain injuries that can affect not just this particular thing,
the wrist,
mm-hmm. but also other parts of the hand and the elbow and the neck and the shoulder. The kind of programs, the sort of the exercises and things that you talk about in the book, will those benefit things other than carpal tunnel?
Yes. I mean, this is an upper body book. I hate to say we gave it a name because carpal tunnel happens to be the most popular name and everybody seems to know what it is. But this is an upper body book, and it works all the way down from where the nerves start in the neck, from all the way down through the shoulders and elbows. So this is, you know, it talks about posture and it talks about ergonomics and it gives you it breaks the myth is what I want to say. It really clears up the subject and it gives you a real complete program of things to do. And I'm not just saying that because I'm the author either, but I've done a lot of this stuff. And as a clinical therapist and have worked with thousands of people and watched them come back with their hands again, it's amazing. It's just a wonderful procedure to watch.
Well, and I guess one thing that I would say just from having looked at it is that other than buying the book, mm-hmm. trying this is not going to cost you anything.
That's right. And it can't hurt you either.
Yeah. I guess fundamentally what we're talking about here is body mechanics, that is the way that we use our bodies. And I think that there are probably many different sorts of disciplines and systems that have at their heart that mm-hmm. particular issue, that the idea that if we use our bodies incorrectly, we're going to have problems, you're going to have pain, and it might also be something that would turn up in a surprising place, that you would say, well, why is it that if you're using this part wrong, the pain's going to be over here? Well, mm-hmm. that's just maybe sort of the way that it works out. Mm-hmm. So I guess what you have to do is look at, in one's daily activities, how it is you do what you do, and then try to fix that.
Well, posture always is an issue. If you have a certain job, and a perfect example, this is back pain, you know, just to skip to another part of the body, is that you're taught how to lift correctly. And if you use mm-hmm. your body correctly, then you're not going to injure your back and not going to end up with a strained back or a herniated disc or anything. So it's the same thing here with your arms. The problem, though, with carpal tunnel is that in my premise in my book is that it starts from the elbow down in 90% of the cases that I've seen. And this is not saying that if you haven't had a whiplash, if you haven't had any other structural problems. So when I look at somebody, I do some muscle testing, which is I want to check your grip strength. And most of the time I find the elbow out of alignment. And the reason for that is that's the one joint in the alignment of the arm that you can't keep it straight. You have to bend it. It moves, always on a hinge. And when you're typing on a computer, you can feel the muscles move in the forearm. And so if that happens, then those muscles get really tight, and then the tendon is attached to the bone, and it gets really tight, and then it pulls your elbow slightly out of alignment. And you can do this, and you can check this by muscle testing your hand grip strength. And then what happens is that you get what we call tendonitis. That's the first sign for me. And then all of a sudden, okay, it goes on and on and on. And then it really starts to come in, and that's when the numbness and tingling come in because the alignment goes more and more the other direction. you can put it all back into alignment by just doing your own elbow, putting your wrist back in, and all the stuff comes off and massage the muscles, and it's back.
How much of the problem do you think is that people are working long periods of time without taking any breaks? And they're basically, they're in the same position, they're doing the same motion, they're going and going and going and going, and that maybe if they would just stop, get up, stretch, move around a little bit for a minute or two, that that might help.
Well, it does help. But the issue here is in the workforce itself, in the job. We do not, unfortunately, this is what I saw in the meatpackers. They're given so many breaks. They can't just stop and say, come off the line and take a break and stretch. So they have to work through. And there's and also there's a stress factor involved here. I mean, you got to get it done now. And there's rush, 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 rush. So the way our society is geared right now, everything's got to be done now. It can't be tomorrow or the next week or whatever. It's got to be done now. And so people are pushing harder and harder. Your boss demands more and more of you, so you push harder. That makes your muscles tighten up even more because you're in an isometric contraction all the time and you're like pounding the keys harder or you're gripping the knife harder or the hammer or whatever. And it's like that's half the problem is that we work under a stress situation 90% of the time.
The posture issue. This is something that maybe office workers have started to pay more attention to, or their supervisors, you hope, because here it's a it can be a little bit complex because, for example, we're talking about the person who is sitting there working at the computer, things like the height of the chair, the kind of chair, the height of their desk, the height of the keyboard, where the monitor sits, all that kind of stuff.
Matters.
And it really matters. And I know because we've done it here, just walking around, we see, first of all, no two workstations are the same. And probably they're almost all of them are wrong, set up wrong. Something about them is wrong. And maybe several things are wrong. So that makes it very difficult to have you've got an illustration here where I guess ideally the idea is that the monitor should be at about your eye height so that you're not having to either look up or look down, and that what you want to do when you look at the relative positions of your leg and in your back and in your arm is what you want is you want 90-degree angles. But that's really even if things are set up right, people are going to slouch, but certainly if things are not set up right, it discourages that kind of alignment.
Yes, it does. I mean, this is an ideal situation, and I wish we could say that every employer would buy us a chair and give us something that would support our lower back and give us all the things we need so we don't have to overreach on our desk and that the monitors were the right height. You have to adjust the best you can, really. I really suggest that the best thing out of this is to have a good chair because that's what you're going to sit in when you're doing your work. But, the ideal situation is to do the best you can. But posture, sitting up straight, even in any chair that you have, sit up straight. Put your shoulders back and down and not slouch because that impinges nerves automatically. When you roll your shoulders forward, you've already cut off the nerves through the shoulders going down to your arms and hands. So, posture is always going to be an issue. The other issue here is exercise because one of the things is it's hard to sit up straight if your posture muscles, which is the intrinsic muscles inside deep to your spine, are not strong. And most people don't do good exercise, don't have good exercise programs in order to do that. And so that they feel comfortable sitting up straight. It's more comfortable to slouch than it is to sit up straight. And so it starts to hurt. So then we don't do it.
That's my bad thing. I have terrible posture. I have this slump. I have the Larry King slump. I do it here.
You're not looking too bad.
Well, that's only because you're here. I'm trying to be on my best behavior. Our guest this morning in this part of Focus 580 is Kate Montgomery. She's a sports therapist. And if you think maybe you might have a problem with carpal tunnel pain, well, you might want to take a look at this book that we've mentioned. It's titled End Your Carpal Tunnel Pain Without Surgery. It is a paperback book. It's published by Routledge Hill. It is not terribly expensive, so you might want to go out and take a look at it. I did mention at the beginning of the program that we had an extra copy and that we'd like to give it away. So here's the deal. If you give us a call right now, we'll take the first caller. Here is the number, 333-0852.
It will be a signed copy, too.
Oh, the extra bonus there. Kate will sign it. Again, here you go, 333-0852. We'll take the first caller. As soon as we get that person, we'll tell you, and we can tell you to stop. And she'll she'll sign it. We'll send you an autographed copy. Now, of course, if you don't get in today and you would like to have a copy of the book, it is in bookstores. And as I mentioned at the beginning, Kate will be doing a book signing at Pages for All Ages bookstore on Sunday, the 10th, from 2 to 3 in the afternoon. And then she's also teaching this class on ending your carpal tunnel pain without surgery as part of the YMC Cum University starting Monday. And you can get more information by calling the Y 337-1500. And we have some callers here with questions. You're certainly welcome to call. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Also, we have a toll-free line. Go to anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. Here is our first caller. They're in Peoria, line number 4. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning. Do you have anything in your book about sore neck due to the pillow? Maybe it's too hard or too thick?
I don't really talk about that, but if you have a pillow that's too hard or too soft, I mean, why don't you change pillows? Or do you have a neck problem that you maybe need to see your doctor about?
What can be done about it?
Well, as I suggested, you know, changes of pillows would also help. Just find something that's more comfortable for you and also how you sleep in bed.
Does your book have anything in it about neck pain?
I talk about it briefly, but more in relationship to the hands.
I see.
Thank you for the call.
Thanks. Is that particularly an issue when people are lying down? That is, what angle the neck is relative to the rest of the body?
Yes. I mean, there is an alignment. You have certain curves of the spine, and it's good to support the neck as well as the back. I mean, depending on how you lie, the most perfect position is to lie on your side, actually, not to lay on your back. Mm. And so you want to make sure that you put a pillow that supports your neck and keeps it straight, actually, so that you're not bringing your chin to your shoulder. And then also to put a pillow between your knees, because that brings the leg height up and it keeps the spine more level, and it's a lot easier for you. Mm, okay. Gives you more support.
Well, for anyone who's interested in trying to get the book, it's gone. You missed it. But, as I say, it's in the bookstore. It's not very expensive, and so I'm sure that you can find a copy. Two other callers. Aurora, next. Line number 1. Hello.
Yes, hi. Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
My situation was not what you're discussing this morning, but I wanted to tell you that I had a problem where my shoulder blades were so stressed, so tight, that my hands would be numb when I woke up in the morning. And so I went to the doctor, and Dr. Schwingel, wonderful man, he told me in no uncertain terms, he said, if you don't do these exercises 4 times a day, he gave me 5 exercises to do, you know, the circular motion of the arms, and make circles with the arms to the left, to the right, small and large, carry a 5-pound weight back and forth. He gave me these 5 exercises to do 4 times a day. He said, if you want to avoid surgery, do it for 2 years. I did it for 2 years, and I avoided surgery.
Well, congratulations.
I congratulate the doctor that he was tough enough to say to me, it's your situation, you have to handle it, this is what you can do not to avoid surgery. And I think sometimes we have to help ourselves get out of the situation. I mean, do all these people that have surgery for carpal tunnel syndrome need it, or can they avoid it with surgery?
Well, they can.
I mean, with exercise.
Yes, they can. I mean, that's what my book's about, is about correction and exercises. So, yes, and I applaud your doctor for staying there.
I applauded him, too.
Yes.
And when I told him how great he was, he says, well, you know, there aren't too many people that feel like you do. And I said, well,
that's true.
That's true.
That's very true.
People want to do
a quick way out. And when he tells you 2 years, you know, nobody wants to wait 2 years to get a solution.
And you know, all my friends used to tease me because I would be someplace doing these exercises. And they would say, well, there she goes doing her exercises again. So you do get the banter from other people, you know, and you have to overlook that.
Yeah, but what you did is you took responsibility, and your doctor gave it back to you. And so I applaud you and your doctor. But that's what has to be done. Too many people look for the quick way out and the quick fix, and it really isn't the quick fix.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. And for you have a particular system of exercises that you spell out in this book. Mm-hmm. And there are, I think, what, about 10?
No, there's 12 total.
Okay. They all look to me like they're really, this is not complicated.
Not
anybody should be able to, from the illustrations, should be able to figure out.
As many books as I've sold, I mean, I don't even know half the people that buy the book and they get results. And I receive lots of letters telling them how wonderful it is. So,
and you suggest that people do this every day?
Well, you know, I teach in the book how to assess your own grip strength and when to do this. And so you basically use common sense. You don't overdo any kind of exercise program and alignment program. And so I teach them how to assess themselves and use common sense about it. But yeah, if you're keying all the time, you need to know when to do the exercise and when not to do them. And so that's what's said in the book.
Okay. We have some other callers here. The next person is in Champaign, and this would be line number 2. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning.
I'm very curious to know whether in the past there was some the amount of carpal tunnel as there is today. In other words, way back when we had non-electric typewriters, I don't recall anybody having carpal tunnel. And also, I was thinking about the way people write today, which is holding a pen with their very might. And I was taught the Palmer method. Of course, I've gotten away from it, but I felt that was certainly a marvelous way to write without stress. And what is your thought on those two things?
Well, that's a question that comes up almost in every talk I give about the typewriter. You have to remember is that the typewriter, you took your hands off the keys, you rolled something, you pushed this, you pushed that.
That's
and
right.
So you were always moving your hands. And when you use a keyboard for a computer, you don't do that.
No.
And so that's where the repetitive strain comes from. And it's also the way we do such micro movements, whereas with a typewriter, you didn't do a micro movement. You did a macro movement, basically. Mm-hmm. And the same thing goes with our handwriting and all the other things that we do. It's like we're getting away from using our actually handwriting. And so instead of we have more stress today than we did back then.
Oh, my goodness.
And so you're seeing all these new pens come out with cushions on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is to stop you from pressing so hard so that the ends of your fingers don't turn numb.
Oh.
And that does happen. And so there's a lot of pens out today with gel cushions and things on them.
I see. I didn't know.
Yeah, they're out there now.
All right. And I must say that physical therapy is marvelous.
Yes, it is.
I did have a very bad fall in
mm-hmm.
November.
Mm-hmm.
But it was about 2 months later that I developed carpal tunnel. Mm. And I went to physical therapist for 6 weeks and got rid of it.
Well, congratulations.
It was really severe, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, good.
But
I'm glad.
I didn't understand why it took a couple of months or maybe a month and a half to really develop. But anyway, that's my story.
Thank you for your call.
All right. Thank you. Others are welcome to call 333-WILL or 9455, toll free 800-222-WILL. That's the number. We'll continue here. Next caller is Urbana, line 3. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Hi. We had a family member who developed arm problems such that he could not open doors and couldn't do much of anything with his hands, but he was a consultant who used the computer a lot and held his phone between his head and his neck and his shoulder. And apparently that changed the nerve length or something. I'm not quite sure what the details were. But so it is as you said, upper body stuff. But I also wanted to recommend a book that sounds like it's in line with yours and covers some additional areas in response to the person who wanted to know about how to deal with neck pain. Some thoughts you might find helpful are in a book called Back Care Basics.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know it. It's a good book.
And the author is Mary Schatz, S-C-H-A-T-Z.
Mm-hmm.
She's a doctor, and she uses some yoga techniques, modified yoga techniques, for people with various neck and back problems, and shows you how to evaluate and how to regain flexibility mm-hmm. and strength and reduce pain. And so it's not the classic yoga stuff, but it uses some of those ideas to do the same thing you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a very good book. I know the book. There are many, many books out on how to maintain the body, how to get flexibility and range of motion back. So if you went into a bookstore and you went into the natural health area or alternative medicine area, you'd find all these books.
And one of the things that I found helpful in it was that it talks about pillows.
That's great.
Pillows. And I now have two pillows.
Oh, wonderful.
And I sleep with one if I'm on my back, and I sleep with another one if I'm lying on my side because, so that I get my neck supported, and it has made a difference.
Well, great. Thank you for calling in.
So tell us again what the title of the book is you mentioned. Oh, too late. Caller's gone. Well, you know the title. What's the title?
You just took me off. I know it. Back. I'm sorry. I just slipped out.
Well, all right. Anyway.
By Mary Schott.
Mary Schott.
So we can find it.
Okay. Again, we have another person here. They're in Urbana. We'll go to them. Line number one. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Yeah, two questions.
Good morning.
Good morning. You see pictures of people who work on computers a lot. Sometimes mm-hmm. they have the keyboard lower than 90-degree
right.
angle. And I'm just wondering if that's a good idea. Number one. And number two, a lot of people are suspicious about people who claim to have carpal tunnel. And I was wondering if there's actually an objective way to diagnose.
Actually, yes, there is. There are dynamometers. If you went to the doctor, for instance, there's a mechanical machine called a dynamometer, and it's a grip squeeze machine. And if you for your age and everything, if you squeeze and you cannot pull at least 60 pounds of pressure, then there's a grip strength loss somewhere. So that could be and that goes along with your symptoms and stuff. There are certain nerve tests and stuff that definitely show a loss of nerve strength. So those things are there. So you can evaluate it scientifically. As for the lower keyboard, the only thing about that one is that you have to make sure that if the keyboard is lower, that your wrists are at least in a neutral position instead of any kind of flexion to it. So you have to kind of look. The lower one is sort of okay, except that you have no way really to rest your arms unless you've got wrist rest or you have the arm rest. So you have to kind of look at the alignment and how that works for you. I haven't really found anything. I mean, I use a regular Apple keyboard, but I also have a laptop. And, you know, the thing for me is I do my exercises. I make sure that I get a massage and I massage my arms. And so my alignment stays at 90 degrees. That's how I do it. And I keep my wrist neutral. But as long as I take care of my body, I never have a problem. And even when I wrote the first edition of this book, I had a regular Apple keyboard with a wrist rest, and I had no problems, only because I did massage and I took care of myself all the time. So this is, to me, really about body maintenance. I mean, even if you have the best workstation in the world, they can spend thousands of dollars on the workstation and the equipment, but if you don't take care of your body and it's the body that's using the equipment, you're going to have a problem no matter what it is. So to me, you know, I don't really mind so much and look at all the alignment of what the workstation is like. I want to make sure my body's okay.
I've got one quick follow-up and then I'll hang up.
Okay.
But you make me curious. Have you ever encountered anyone who was claiming to have carpal tunnel who...
Who didn't?
Who you thought didn't?
Actually, no. The people that came to me were in severe pain and had problems. To fake this is really difficult. I mean, you don't fake carpal tunnel. It's if you have numbness and tingling and you can't hold something and you can't comb your hair and you can't cook or you can't hold your kids. And most of the people that I see are women. I haven't had too many men, but I'm starting to see more, though. But most of them are women, and it really isn't something you can fake.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you for your call.
And we have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus. And if there are other folks listening who have questions, please do call. If you're in Champaign-Urbana, where we are, 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. Given that what you said about it, the ergonomics of the workstation are important, but you also need to be conscious of the other stuff. Just for a second, though, I am curious because I have seen people who do a lot of keyboard work have on their keyboards this little bumper deal or some, you know, a kind of thing that supports their wrist.
The wrist rest.
Oh, the wrist rest. Or I've also seen it on their mouse hand.
Right. They have that too.
And I wonder whether, in fact, that's something that they have some.
Well, there's pros and cons to the wrist rest. You know, you're not supposed to actually rest down on it so that you put pressure on the median nerve, which goes into the carpal tunnel. Uh-huh. It's really there just as a support, just a brace, so that you actually don't come down and then cock your wrist. It's not something just to lay down on. And your hands are usually up on the keyboard anyway. Your fingers are. So it's not really resting. So, but I like it there just because it doesn't make my hands flex back out. And so then I can always keep my wrists in a neutral position.
So it's almost more of a reminder
of
the position you'd want to be in rather than something that you actually put weight on.
And if you stop and you kind of rest for a minute, that's really what it's for. It's not to sit there to use as a permanent thing.
By the way, the title of the book that the previous caller mentioned, I think she heard us and she called back.
Good.
Back Care Basics.
Great.
Is what it's called, by Mary Schatz. S-C-H-A-T-Z. Did I get that right?
Shots.
Okay. So that's something you might think about. Two other callers here. Next, they're both in Champaign. First in was line number two, so we'll go right there. Hello.
Which line?
Good morning.
Line two. That's you. Yes, sir.
Hello.
Okay. Yeah, how are you?
Good.
Fine, thanks.
Hopefully I won't be asking something that somebody already asked because I did tune in a bit late.
That's okay.
But I just heard you mention that I guess maybe some of the symptoms are numbness and tingling and kind of that feeling that you have when you've crossed your legs too long.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, is that one?
Yeah, that's one.
Okay. Well, it seems I use the computer a lot. I mean, like maybe 8 hours a day, and sometimes, like in the middle of the night, I'll wake up and I can't grip anything at all because the tingling is so bad. I don't know if this is carpal tunnel or that I had my hand behind my head inadvertently, and I do this almost every night, and I killed the blood flow, or I don't know what's going on. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, not to diagnose or anything, but the basic thing is that posture, you know, when you key a lot, you're using your muscles to the extreme, especially if you're staying on and you're really stressed out and you're trying to finish papers or whatever you're doing. Then your muscles get really tired. And so there's always the chance that things cannot be in the position where they're supposed to. And then you go to sleep and you haven't stretched out and maybe your muscles, you know, it's just like going out and running a race. You haven't stretched out and then you got all this lactic acid in your muscles and they hurt. And then you wake up and you can hardly walk. Well, it's the same thing with your arms. You have to kind of use that as a synonym. But then you go and you go to sleep, and maybe you're sleeping on your arms and you've cocked your head to your shoulder, you know. So all those things are going to impinge nerve supply and blood supply, and then you're going to wake up with the numbness and tingling. And so, you know, get up and stretch and find out if those things will help correct it. I'd get my book, though, to throw that in. But I, you know, really go into the library, go read it, because and find out if those are things that you need to do. Because a good exercise program and a good stretching program would probably help you, especially just don't quit and go to bed.
Well, usually it goes away. Like if I wake up in the middle of the night and I stay awake for about, you know, 10 minutes or so, and I just keep my hands at my sides and just let them rest for a while, it usually goes away.
Good.
But, I mean, it just used to never happen at all, so... I'm one. Yeah, I guess I'll go ahead and read the book. And
well, that's fine. Well, you know, everything's an accumulation.
Yeah.
So it's years and years. If you've been using the computer for years, and you know, things just sort of build up, and all of a sudden it hits its peak point, and so you might be starting something. You never know, but you know, it's something to read up on and to get familiar because, let me tell you, it can affect your job occupations and how fast you can do things, and it affects your whole life actually.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you. To Champaign line number one. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I was wondering, do you see any similarity between the carpal tunnel and tennis elbow?
Oh, yes.
does your book cover any exercises that overcome the tennis elbow? And actually, what is the nature of the tennis elbow? Does it really have to do with playing tennis or just... Yeah. General term.
It could be called golfer's elbow also. No, it's to me, I look at it as the elbow is a two-joint. And basically, any sport you play, whether it's working on a computer to having your occupation to playing sports, you have to keep all the joints in the perfect alignment so we can call it tennis elbow, golfer's elbow, whatever we want to call it. And yes, I do deal with it in the book.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. So this is, it, I suppose, also could be carpenter's elbow.
Everything.
I guess.
Give it a name. You know, like you know? Yeah, because there's so many different names. You know, it's not only called carpal tunnel, called Space Invaders Wrist or Nintendo Thumb. I mean, that's what they do for the kids that are playing video games, you know. So there's lots of names out there for stuff like this. I call it robotitis because you sit and you never move. And so that's being like a robot. Yeah. So there's lots of names for this problem, but it's really simply just an overworked, overstrained musculoskeletal disorder.
Okay, very good. Let's go to somebody else here. It's Chicago, line 4.
Ooh, long way.
Hello.
I think that was Back Care Basics by Dr. Shotwell.
We got it.
You got it.
Thank you very much.
Another point, Dr. Ellis wrote sometime about vitamin B6 as being a helpful item in the nerve maintenance and so forth.
It helps with inflammation, yes. I write about that too.
Could I ask a question on your views on hand reflexology? Is that any benefit? Have you ever known people to use that, or acupressure and so forth?
Oh, yes. In the book is a multifaceted book. I deal with acupressure points.
Wonderful. I'll get it.
All through the book.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Is there some sort of nutritional role in here, and does that really make much difference?
Oh, yeah. You know, the one thing that you want to do is eat right. You know, you want to not load up on sugars and caffeines and things that are going to make your muscles really tight and really sore and actually add to the stress of your body. You know, eating a good nutritional program always, getting the right supplements or vitamins within your food is always going to be the best thing that you can do. And he talked about vitamin B6. It's a wonderful thing to use instead of aspirin or ibuprofen because it works as a natural anti-inflammatory.
Wow, very good. We've talked about the fact that in your book there are a system of exercises that you suggest that people can just, you know, sort of do on their own. And if you do it on a regular basis, that it can help. And there are probably other sorts of things that individuals can do without consulting a professional. At some point, though, how do you decide that maybe someone who does some kind of hands-on sort of work, some kind of massage or acupressure or acupuncture or some of these various things, chiropractor, what have you, that somebody like that might help?
Well, like I talk about in the book, I give you a protocol to healing. So I list the practitioners in the order that I think that you should try. But, you know, if you have a problem, you know, and it's a serious problem, and, you know, I always recommend that you see practitioners first. Because, yes, you can pick the book up, and, yes, it's going to start to help you. But you may need some hands-on work, because if your muscles are really sore and tired and they're in pain, it's hard for you to actually get in and do the work because you can't. So, you know, use your practitioners, use your chiropractors, use your massage therapists, and, you know, go to these people and use them in conjunction with each other. Don't just use one and don't use the other, because, you know, your chiropractor is going to look at your structure and he's going to work with that. And maybe he'll have a massage therapist in the office who will actually work with your muscles to relieve the pain. My suggestion always is to use massage first and then go to a chiropractor so that your muscles are nice and relaxed and not in pain. And then when they go to do an adjustment, it won't hurt so bad.
Hmm. You do also have some advice on the workplace and some of these things that we've talked about. I talked back in the beginning that there are things like what you want is to have your body in a certain alignment, and so that can definitely be affected for good or ill by things like how high off the floor your chair is and where your keyboard is and where your monitor is and the work surface and all that kind of stuff. Is there anything that we've talked about this a little bit. Any sort of general advice that you can give on those particular things?
Well, the general advice to me is to set your desk up so that you don't overreach anything or you don't twist your body. So that you have wheels on your chair so that if you have a plastic mat on your floor, you can slide. But the biggest thing is not to twist and not to overreach, because that strains things. And so you want to be able to set your desk up so that it's easy to reach everything and that you can slide your chair and get to it. And that's probably a general, you know, rule of thumb to go by. But, you know, I give you a pretty good dynamics and pictures and graphics in the book of how to set it up and how many inches for this. I mean, these all came out of ergonomic standards that were given to me, you know. So I basically just took them and said, okay, this is what the state's saying to do, and so this is a good idea. Mm. And so, you know, those, but the general thing is just don't overreach. Don't overdo. Don't try to force your body to do something more than it can't reach past a certain level.
One of the things that I have seen recommended for people who are doing various kinds of activities, if they've got to be standing for a long time, is to have some way that you can slightly elevate one foot. And I guess the idea is that you would alternate. Rather than continuing just to stand with both feet flat, right. that you have something that would put up your foot up, and not right. not a lot, right. But that you might put one foot up for a little bit. Yeah. And then, you know, you also have that same, looks like that same kind of suggestion maybe apply if you're going to be sitting for long periods of time.
Right. Well, the thing is that you want to alter. You want to get up and down. You know, you want to change positions a lot. You don't want to just stay sedentary in one position because that hurts circulation for one thing. And you know, there are so many things that goes with posture, and you don't just stay in one position. Even with your standing and you put one foot up, you got to switch to the other foot. You just don't stay because one way after a while is going to change hip alignment. So you're going to have problems with your lower back if you do it that way. The same thing with sitting down, you know, make sure that your seat's adjusted, but get up. You know, you don't ever just want to stay sitting for 8 hours and maybe you get 10 minutes here or 15. You need to get up and down.
Well, we've pretty much used up our time. I want to say once again that if you're interested in the book, End Your Carpal Tunnel Pain Without Surgery. It is available in bookstores. It's published by Routledge Hill Press. And our guest, Kate Montgomery, will be doing a signing at Pages for All Ages.
And please come. It'll be fun.
Sunday from 2 to 3 in the afternoon. That's this weekend, the 10th. And then also she's going to be doing this course at the YMCA Cum University. This is the University Y down on Wright Street. Classes start Monday, the 11th, 337-1500. That's the number for the Y if you'd like to get more information about
it. And we will go through everything. And if you have problems with your hands, come, because you will walk out of there with brand new ones.
Well, great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, David, for having me.
Kate Montgomery, our guest.